And good afternoon. Good afternoon. My name is Amy Toy, and this is Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I have two very special guests, authors of the book Live from the Other Side, Maureen McGill and Nola Davis. And they will be coming on momentarily to talk about their book. And this is a book about contacting the other side and experiences. And I know a lot of people have had experiences with the other side, maybe not realize it or don't want to talk about it. Well, this book will kind of take those stigmas away. For the next upcoming shows, I have a few great shows coming up as well. I was excited about this one. There's always, I try to keep the shows kind of intriguing and informative. Next week, Kathy's coming back, Kathy Frakovich. We're going to talk about sexual abuse and, you know, how to heal from that. And then the 24th, Lynn Woodland is coming back. She was the author of Making Miracles. She was coming on in March. And in October, we've got Ruth Ann Mack, and she's going to talk about Reiki. I have a couple special guests because we're going to have to do some pre-recorded shows, and I will talk about that later. And then we have Karen Ann Noe. So we have a great show coming in. So welcome, ladies. Welcome, Maureen. Welcome, Nola. How are you? How are you, ladies, today?
We're great. How are you?
Good. If I could talk, that would be fine. My tongue's, like, twisting around. This is a wonderful book. It's Live from the Other Side.
Nope, Live
from the Other Side. Thank you. Correct me. Correct me all you want today, because my tongue is twisted. Anyway, you guys, you really had presented a really good book. It's very informative. Tell me about yourself, starting with you, Maureen. Tell me how you started this work. I mean, have you always been gifted? Just tell me a little bit about your background so the audience can get to know you.
Well, my work is actually at a university. I'm a professor here, an associate professor, and I teach dance and theater and movement. And I've always believed that awareness extends beyond the body. So in the last 12 years, I developed a course called Healing Arts of Mind and Body, where we explore alternative healing. And in that whole journey, I myself started to work with my intuition and develop my skills with the tarot cards, and that's kind of how it unfolded with me. And also my connection with Nola. We both were involved with a practice called Healing Touch, and we were in a practice group together, and that's how we got to know each other.
Oh, that is so cool. That is so cool.
Kind of came along as a sabbatical project, and Nola said she would love to be on board with it, and so that's how we did it. We both collected stories, and we added philosophy about messages that our loved ones give us after they die.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Nola, you have a little bit of a different background. You're in the healthcare profession, is that correct?
I am. I, Amy, had a near-death experience when I was 2.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was coming out of that experience that I had a sense for the other side and could see them. Mm-hmm. But it was also something, being a small child, that I really just sort of hid away and didn't talk about it, and actually for quite a period in my life was very uncomfortable even having any discussions about spirituality. Mm-hmm. However, my life took me on a journey. I ended up working in senior health care, and next month completes 35 years for me. Mm-hmm. And my work in senior health care, especially when it came to hospice, mm-hmm. and working with people as they were preparing to make their transitions, I'm really just, I don't know, it was like it opened a door for me again.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in 98, I met Maureen when we were both studying Healing Touch, which was really great. And from there, we just established a friendship that evolved into writing a book with a real wish for people who buy the book to really sort of bring it into mainstream, that we all have contact with the other side. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's nothing that people should be afraid about.
Mm-hmm.
And it can bring a great deal of joy and comfort and resolution of grief to people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so. And we're going to have a discussion. We're going to be taking callers. The ladies have agreed to take some callers like towards the end, like the last half of the show. And I'm just going to give out some phone numbers. For those in the U.S., it's 1-888-627-6008, and those outside the U.S. and in Canada, it's 530-413-4522. So yes, how did this book is very interesting because what is the concept of the book, first of all? It feels like you tell some story from what I read. You tell stories, and then how you were interpreting things? Like people would say, you know what, I think you know what I'm saying here. Like you would just kind of say, okay, this person had this experience. How do you know it's from the other side? How do people know it's from the other side? How do they know that their loved ones are reaching out to them? What are some ways?
I know for myself in collecting the stories, there's a real authenticity when somebody tells you this experience. You know, when they relay the experience, they say, you know, I have never told anybody this before. People who come from, you know, science-oriented careers even, that wouldn't be the least bit what we consider woo-woo or interested in something that was this different. And when they say this, there's this feeling, there's this heartfelt feeling that, you know, Maureen, the story is so true. It really happened. I really smelled my loved one, or I really saw them sitting at the edge of the bed. And it's that authenticity, really, and how they deliver it that makes it feel so real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what are some ways, like my grandmother, when my grandfather passed away, she said that my grandfather would come to her at night, he'd sit on the edge of the bed and talk with her, you know, and we would talk about these things in my family because that's my family, that, you know, the psychic phenomenon and the mediumship is open to that. But, you know, there's other ways that people, you know, our loved ones come from the other side. What are some other ways that people
relate? Well, they love electronics. I call electronics Live from the Other Side 101. Because electronics seem to be so tangible in our world to mm-hmm. us, mm-hmm. and it is a great way for them to get our attention. So we often will see radios when we turn it on. It's always to a song that is particularly tied to a person.
Mm-hmm.
Or on a said date, that song comes on, and it's either their birthday or the anniversary of their transition or the anniversary of the anniversary date for them, literally, as a person. We will see them play with light bulbs. They love light bulbs. Depending upon what someone's occupation in their life is, my dad's an electrician.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had to tell him after he passed and we moved into our new house, he had to stop playing with the lights in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
As my lights would keep burning out. They would just mm-hmm. pop out. And they also love computers.
Oh, yes.
They know how to play with microwave ovens.
Mm-hmm.
Telephones, cell phones. We have a great story in our book about a cell phone having been disconnected, which belonged to someone who had passed, and the cell phone, their friend's cell phone rang and had their cell phone number up on it.
Mm-hmm.
With telephones, it's not uncommon on somebody's birthday or on the anniversary of their passing that the telephone will ring and people will pick it up and they'll hear a lot of static in the background, but there
mm-hmm.
will be there. Very, very common for people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have probably maybe 10% of people actually see an apparition.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have visits in their dreams,
mm-hmm.
because they were very relaxed. Our bodies are relaxed. Our subconsciousness is so much more open.
Mm-hmm.
We're open to those visits
mm-hmm.
through senses, through smell. It could be someone's aftershave. It could be their perfume. It could be a flower,
mm-hmm.
that particular fragrance of a flower that they love very much, a good cigar.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that is very intrinsic to that person that would let the person they're trying to contact know definitively it's them.
Yeah. Yes, my printer has been going off crazy, and I lost a very good dear friend of mine 5 years ago, and it's going to be the anniversary, the five-year anniversary this Friday. So I wouldn't be surprised, sir. It's interesting because, you know, people have these experiences. Now, my father recently just told me he smelled my grandmother's perfume, his mom, and he said, I had this this sickening smell, like this perfume, and your grandmother used to wear it. And I said, Dad, that's your mom, you know, coming from the other side. And it was like he almost was, like, afraid to talk about it. But once he started talking about it, he had a plethora of questions. It's amazing. Once we start talking about these things, I think we'd be surprised at how many people have had these experiences. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. You know, we have a story in the book where the mother-in-law passed away, and they went back to the cabin that the mother-in-law had been and visited, and they could smell the mother-in-law in the cabin. They could smell that perfume. So it's not unusual. I think fragrance is another vibration where they can come through because our senses are often so keen with fragrance.
Mm-hmm. And how long does it usually take in your experiences, ladies, if someone has passed or crossed over? Does it take months for them to try to reach out to you, or is there no time limit?
Well, I know there are some people, Amy, who have experiences fairly soon mm-hmm. after a person has crossed. More typically, though, people, it'll be somewhere between, depending upon the level of grief also, and we can talk about that a little bit as well.
Yes, I would like to talk about that, definitely.
Well, maybe now is a better time to talk about grief because it leads into more of this.
That's actually what I wanted to talk about, end-of-life issues, and yeah, that would be fine.
So many times when someone has made their transition from this earth and there has been a lot of unfinished business,
mm-hmm.
A lot of emotions, and for those of us that are here, we move through a process of healing with our grief and releasing from it. And grief, on an energy level, can be very, very heavy. I mean, you don't even have to have some people say anything to you, and you can see it in them because there's a sense of heaviness about them. And so if you were to think about someone being absorbed with the concept that, you know, my dad died, my dad died, my dad died, my dad died, and I want a message from him, but my dad's dead, my dad's dead. I don't know how that would happen, but I want a message.
Mm-hmm.
Very much is like dialing the telephone, and then in the middle of dialing the phone, hanging up because you're questioning that the person would even answer. So clearing grief, being able to begin to release the grief and to move towards your joy, you energetically become lighter when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it is much easier because they do not exist in this third dimension anymore like we do.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy here is very heavy. People who do energy work sense it. The energy of this body is very heavy. And so if you think of, it's almost like trying to get through a door because the energy can be so heavy, they also have to have time, many times, to make their transition and to also release from issues they're resolving on that side. And I do believe we work in tandem together.
Mm-hmm.
Healing together in whatever worlds we exist. So it can be for some people who don't have an issue, but they just, they're open and they're very spiritually open. Sometimes they have contact very, very quickly. Where other people, depending on how close we were to that person and how heavy the grief is, it can be months, it can be years. It all depends on the agreement also between the two people.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
It does make sense. When I lost my girlfriend, I don't know, do they use smoke alarms too?
Yes.
Yes, my smoke alarm in my apartment at the time kept going off and going off, and I'm like, okay, I know I just lost Tammy, but I had to tell her to stop it, you know, and here I'm like replacing batteries, you know, because I'm not thinking that it's her, and she just kept setting the smoke alarms off. And that was like within a week after her funeral.
Yes. And sometimes they actually give us messages that they're going to pass before they pass
mm-hmm.
and come to us and let us know.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that, you know, there's a love connection between our loved ones on the other side. They want to be able to hug us. We want to be able to hug them. And sometimes that bond needs to heal.
Yes, and what do you think, though, when... So it depends on, like you said, if who's open to it, basically, right? If we're open to it, you know, on this earth plane, and if they're crossing over, it depends on what we're open to, basically, correct? You know, like you mentioned in the book about somebody that has, a lot of grief, maybe even years later. My mother had her first husband pass away very young. And when I was moving, which I don't understand this, but I saw him walk past my new apartment. And she said to me, and she would always say this to me, why don't they contact me? Is it because she's still grieving after all these years, ladies? Do you think?
No, it could be. And it also could be that it's easier for them to come through you than it would be to them. Because they do hold the grief, or they do hold that longing that they really want to see them. But it's easier for you to be alert and say, gosh, I just saw him walk through, you know?
I did. That freaked me out. My mom's like, why would he come through? That's not your father, you know. I said, well, Mom, I'm a psychic medium. Hello. And she looked at me like, oh, yeah. So it's like, you know, I've had these experiences all my life. So I believe we have a caller, ladies. Would you be open to taking a call right now, or do you want to continue our discussion? How would you?
Sure. Caller, great.
Okay. Hello. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. How you doing?
Okay.
Okay, honey.
I'm wondering what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. I feel kind of stuck in a rut.
Okay. Do you have any questions for the ladies about loss, grief, and dying, or mediumship, or anything?
No.
No? Okay. Okay, because that's our discussion for today. But I don't know. Maureen, you said
yeah, so
Carol?
I just have my cards for Melissa, and what should she be doing with her life? Well, I see that there's this man around her, if that's possible, and maybe there's been some trust issues around that or whatever, or maybe some struggle. In the past, there might have been some challenges for her, but it says the moon is her first outcome, which it says really pay attention to your dreams right now about what you would like to have in your life. You know, try to manifest it through your unconscious because it is speaking to you. You're still letting go of something, and in your fears, there's some decisions to be made. Don't take on so much. You're really taking on the world here. That's the energy that comes next to you. You are going to have two opportunities around work, growth, and enterprise, but you've got to walk from one in order to have the other. This King of Cups is coming in. He's a heart-centered man. He has something to do with possibly a warmer climate. Sometimes he could be a counselor or a teacher. I don't know if he's an influence. The sun is next to him, which could be either a child or warmer climate. So I do see some opportunities coming for you. I feel like you've got some work to do first in terms of letting go of what you're holding on and do some good visualization for this outcome to come. But I see two opportunities to come in your life. Does that help?
Okay. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you, Maureen. Thank you. Anyway, as we were talking about, sometimes don't our loved ones come through and try to give us messages as well? Has that been some of your experiences, ladies? Like maybe through our dreams or try to give us a message?
So, Amy, what we found out and through just watching what happens with people, 60% of all people will have their encounter in a dream state.
Ah, okay.
60% of all people will. And going back to the subconscious mind, we're at rest, we're relaxed, it's easier for that contact to occur. And some people will have dreams that are very, very detailed. And we have a great story in our book about a woman who had a dream and she felt her husband kiss her on the lips. And for 3 days, she could still feel that kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a kiss, sometimes it's the hug, and sometimes those dreams even come through in symbols to us, symbolically for us. And I do believe that some of that has to do with the way we're wired. And so it helps people in a dream state to... I tell people, you have a dream, and you know when you've had one of those dreams because it's not like other dreams. Most people will wake up immediately following the dream,
mm-hmm.
and they have this very clear sensation of that dream and of the contact that was made with them.
Hmm.
It's important when people have that, they write it down.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, as a medium, there are things that you know. You know what you know. And we all have this sense of knowing about us.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to honor when we know we've had an experience like that. You know as a medium when the other side starts circling around you when you're getting ready to read for someone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Know that. You can feel it. Just as any of us who have had a dream visit, it's this knowing and to really be respectful of that and to hold it in a very high regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also my clients have come to me with these, I call them dream visitations. And, you know, I will have people call me up and they'll say, you know, my husband, let's say, who passed away. I had one lady that it was such a real dream. She's like, she thought she was just talking to him face to face. And, you know, she asked me, she said, was that really him? That was it? I think his name was Bob. Was that really Bob? And I said, yes, it was. She goes, it was just, he had crossed over 15 years ago. And it was weird because she said to me, I had not ever had a dream about him until recently. And she had to call somebody up. So, and I get a lot of calls like that. You're right. There's a lot of people out there who have visitations in their dreams from the other side. And it's amazing. They question it. It's like, is that real? Is that real? Yeah, it's real. It happens, you know. And it's just amazing. I've had those myself with my grandmother. And I love it. I just wish more people would just not question themselves. Why do you think we question ourselves when those things occur?
I think society doesn't always accept it. They say that's your imagination or that you've created that. They haven't given validity to, yes, the other side is with us. Yes, they stand by us. Sometimes religions, you know, there are certain religions that believe in angels or protectors or whatever, and so sometimes people may be a bit more open because of that philosophy, but I think also death hasn't been accepted to talk about death necessarily, you know, either.
Right. You know, people, you know, I mean, I took a loss, grief, and dying class back in college, and you know, death is not really accepted. It's really just kind of swept under the rug. And we talked about, you know, visitations and people that have crossed over. And what is wrong with talking about these things? They're very real. I mean, some people don't believe in people, you know, coming back and having a visitation. But I really feel like, you know, that I think that would help us accept death more so than ever. Now, Nola, you're in hospice, correct? You talk about end-of-life issues. Let's get back on that. What is your advice to somebody that maybe have a loved one that is, you know, dying or getting older? And what is your advice to them? How should they handle? Can you really prepare yourself for their death? Can you help them if they're dying, help them cross over? What's your opinion on that?
So these are my thoughts. The thing that's certain from the day that we're born to this earth is there'll be a day that we depart, that we've made our journey. And our soul, I absolutely believe every life does its very best here. And that never should we sit in judgment of what another human being did or didn't do. So when we are with people who are elderly, or even with people who are friends who are ill, or someone has an ill child, to really be present with them in the moment, to celebrate life with them, to be with them even when they're sick, to not be looking at, well, you're going to be dying in a few days, so your whole approach to that person is they're dying versus they are alive and living in that moment with you, and to be present with them. To share a moment. Sometimes when people are getting ready, they will tell us they're getting ready. They will use words like, I'm getting ready to go home. And, of course, in people who are elderly, 90% of the family members will turn around and say, she's so confused.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, she's not confused. She is getting ready to go home. And when our relatives start talking about Well, I saw Sissy the other night, and Sissy is your mom's sister, and, you know, she looked wonderful, and she came to say that she's waiting for me, and then you have people go, well, what kind of drugs is she on? But now she's starting to hallucinate and all that kind of stuff that goes on, versus really stepping back, even though it's very new for many people, when that happens, to go, well, tell me about the visit. How did she look? Talk to me. It's validating that you're there to support them and to hold that very sacred space from a point of love in your heart for them, that they have loved you and been with you in your life, and you are going to help them rebirth.
I also would like to say, this is Maureen, that there's an issue sometimes with fear. Mm-hmm. The loved one just is afraid to die. And if we could help them to dissolve around the fear, to let them know that we're going to be fine here, things are taken care of, there's going to be enough money, it's going to be okay. It's often just simply helping them dissolve around fear, which will then give them that time and passage to move forward.
Mm-hmm. How about those that there was one story, and it involved NOLA, where someone was, you had visit them on Fridays, and they were waiting. Is it true that sometimes our loved ones, maybe they're waiting for us to come and visit them so they can pass crossover? Is that true?
Absolutely. Actually, that was an elderly lady that was in one of my buildings that I developed a friendship with. It was a very powerful experience to be present, to be a part of holding that space for her and letting her know that this Friday tradition we were going to keep in her honor.
Mm-hmm.
And to just hold that space and allow her. It's so difficult when you love someone and you know they are making that transition. And in this world, death has this stigma. Mm-hmm. Instead of realizing that, you know, it is a rebirth for this person, they're going home.
Mm-hmm.
They're moving back into the arms of the divine. And it is something that we need to learn to make more of an uplifting process than how we have it now. But for people to, if they can't physically get there to that person, you can sit quietly and focus on that person in your heart. And you can send them love. You can hold the light for them. And you can speak from your heart, because your words and your thoughts are energy in motion, always.
Mm-hmm.
If you can be there with them, sometimes they'll hang on because they want to know you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And if the person is comatose or really close to dying, to be gentle when you come in, and to be gentle and to let them know you're there. And to say it quietly, because the person is in a hyperinflated state. And so to be calm and quiet. And to just, it's a moment of such love. It is your final expression of love you give to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I never thought about, if someone's comatose, do you think they can hear us? Really?
Absolutely.
You know, the jury's out on that one, I think. But I really feel that it's okay. You know, I really feel if someone is passing away too, or about to pass away, and they're holding on, it's okay to tell them it's okay to cross over. It's okay to go. It's okay to go home. It's okay. And it is a profound experience to be with someone who has passed, you know, about to pass, cross over. Wow. And what is your advice for those people, for those individuals out there who maybe want to, how can you help somebody who's grieving, who has lost someone that has crossed over? How can we help them? How can you help other people that maybe you know lost a loved one? What's your advice to those listeners out there? It's hard to talk to somebody, I think, who has lost someone.
Really set the intention for them that they are truly still with us. Their bodies are gone, but their spirit is truly with us. and for them to set the intention that they will hear from their loved one again, that they will connect again. It's not simply over. It's just a different consciousness that we step into. Noel and I just returned from the International Association of Near-Death Studies Conference in Phoenix. And it's remarkable when you hear stories of those who have flatlined, gone to the other side and come back. There's such a level of awareness of what's going on here in the world while they're on that other, in that other place. And they have come back to speak about it, which to me is totally fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. I've had two near-death experiences, so it's interesting. Very interesting. You never forget it. At least I didn't. I never forgot my second one. My first one was like, okay, you can't come, you know, you're going back. But the second one was more profound, and I did the life review. And I think it's amazing. I think, you know, like if you've had a near-death experience, you can relate to other people when they cross over. And it is a transition. It's not something that you can. It's like I changed my perspective on death. I wasn't afraid of it anymore. That's what it did for me. I wasn't afraid of it, and I mourned that. I cried for the first year, you know, after it happened. I wanted to go back home because you feel this profound sense of love and peace and calm, and I really feel like you just. You know, it just changes your perspective on death. It's amazing to me. It really is that some people are afraid of death is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You know, there's like this fear of death, like what's going to happen on the other side. And when you try to explain to some, you know, individuals and it's like, whoa, I don't want, some people don't even want to talk about death. Have you found that? You probably found that to be in your field, ladies, right? You know, people just don't want to talk about it.
They don't want to talk about it, and they'll use interesting words, like they went away, they're gone. We have come up with this incredible vocabulary that someone has moved back into spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone. They went away. You know, I lost them, and this is not said in a mean way, but I've been a few times that I've said, where did you lose them? And like I walked off the planet. So it's like, what planet did you come in from? And it's like, well, you lost them. Where did you lose them? No, they're dead. Oh! But I lost them, and it's like, no, you didn't lose them. But also, I think for people who have grief, for us to say, you shouldn't be sad, you shouldn't be sad. Death, the passing of someone from our life, is an opportunity for us to heal through things and through events. And it offers families a tremendous opportunity to do their work as a family and to heal, to become more communicative about feelings and processes. To say to someone, don't be sad, you shouldn't be sad, this is what I hear you saying, yes. Mm-hmm. And can you tell me when you first met this person? And can you share with me where you felt that in your body, where that person touched you? And to get them to come home to that place of love where that soul touched their soul,
mm-hmm.
and to feel it again, to feel that within themselves, they begin to realize, yes, they lost the physicality of this person, but what that person gave to them and brought to their life and that love that they feel still from that person within their soul speaks volumes because they can feel it again.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy, don't you think it's true as a medium that on the other side, they feel our pain when we're sad? Do you find
Yes. Yes, I mean, I've had clients come to me and they'll say, I have one client, she lost her husband suddenly, and he knows, I've picked up on him, he knows when she's sad and depressed and angry, and yes, I feel like they can, and they'll even tell her to stop worrying about me, live her life, you know, and you know, you talk to the other person, the spirit on the other side, and you're just like, look, your wife is grieving still, it's been a while here, but, you know, she's having a rough time, and I feel like they do.
Important messages that you give to people because you're the formal portal of communication over there to say the other side is saying, okay, you know, they feel our pain over there as well. They want you to move forward. They might want you to move out of this, you know.
Well, I've talked with my client about that, and she gets really angry. But, you know, I try to kind of be delicate, and I'll say, okay, just try to move forward here. And it is difficult. You don't want to stay stuck in that either, you know. But what is a – everybody grieves differently. You know, maybe it's a couple years. It takes a long time, you know, for certain people. It really does.
And I truly believe some people are addicted to grief. Sometimes it's very difficult for them to break that addiction, but they can't, and there are tools out there to help them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And some people, it's – you know, what are some ways, what are some tools, let's talk about that, that people could utilize to move past their grief? I think we always grieve in some ways, but it depends on where it is. Like my mother, she lost her husband 40-some years ago now, her first husband, and I can still tell she doesn't grieve for him like she used to, but there's still that, you can still see the pain in her eyes sometimes when she talks about him. What are some tools you think that people can utilize?
Well, I find that one of those tools is reading about the near-death experience and what it truly is like on the other side and how similar it is on that sense of unconditional love, that peace and that calm that you just spoke about a few minutes ago, and reading about those experiences and helping you know that there is this other consciousness can help others. I think time helps. I think celebrating those good memories that you had, that helps sometimes as well.
I also feel that there are those people, Amy, that really benefit from grief counseling.
Mm-hmm.
They actually need the professional counseling. And I also believe that having body work, energy work, mm-hmm. and done on your body helps, because it helps release grief as it comes up in layers. As having a person just tell me how your grief serves you now.
Mm-hmm.
How is it serving you? How does it help you? Well, it helps me remember that I had my husband. It helps me, and it's like, and there are better ways to remember your husband than in the heaviness of your heart, but in the lightness of your soul and what he brought to you in your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so there are self-help books out there. I do believe, honestly, that people going and having interactions with mediums
mm-hmm.
helps them. They just, grief has its purpose, and it sounds kind of awful to say, but there is a point in grief because there are layers and stages to it, that if a person works through the layers and stages, they can actually clear themselves, and there is no rhyme or reason of what order of those stages of grief people go through. It is different for every single human being.
Right, yes. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross had the 5 stages of grief, I believe.
Yes.
And it just explained a lot. But even though it was weird, I lost my best friend Tammy 5 years ago, and it took me two years, and I had to do body work. I did myofascial release. I did a lot of things to... Even though I'm a psychic medium and I had the education when I went through it, because she was my first really, when I lost my grandmother, it was okay, but when I lost my childhood friend who I'd known since I was 7, you know, and she died in her early 30s, it was just kind of a different grief. I think it depends on, it depends, like you said, on the relationship maybe, the age, you know.
Mindy on line 3.
Okay. Oh, we have a caller, ladies. We have a caller. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Amy, it's Mindy. How are you?
Good, Mindy. How you doing, honey?
Good. I had a question for your ladies.
Okay, cool.
My dad has been gone for about 7 years now, and I'm very comfortable with that, and he actually leaves me pennies all the time. But I was wondering if you had any special messages from my dad to me.
Okay. Could you give me your dad's first name?
Ray.
Ray? I'm shuffling my cards, and I'm just going to ask and see if Ray has a message, and we'll see if this resonates. I myself am not considered a medium, okay? I have not studied mediumship.
Oh, okay.
But I do have the tarot cards, and I will see if there's a message that's coming here from Ray. So now I put them in 3 piles, and you would like you to choose 1, 2, or 3.
2.
Okay. Okay. Ray is definitely in spirit because I got the Ace of Cups. That's new love, new beginnings, new hope. He is around you, and he's a protector. He protects you, Four of Pentacles. He gives you messages, and the messenger card came up, which is phone, faxes, or emails, or he's simply around you through messages. In the past, he held the truth for you, or he was around the truth for you, or established the truth for you. He knows you're a romantic dreamer, and he knows that you need to believe in yourself, or I don't know if he feels like somebody failed you in some way, but he says, you know, believe in yourself. In your fears, okay. He worries about you being in the world, but he says to go for it. He says the Knight of Pentacles is standing next to you coming, and that's somebody who's accountable or helping you with numbers or working with that. It says that he offers sweetness, Six of Cups, and the final outcome is that he's helping you with some work matters, maybe even financial. He knows there's a friendship around you, and he says to celebrate. Go with the flow. It's going to be okay. So that's what I got on the card.
Okay.
Does any of that resonate?
Oh, absolutely. So with you mentioned the messages. Could that be the pennies that I always find? That was a special thing between my dad and I.
Pennies are a common theme for the other side. Coins are a common theme.
Wow.
Okay. Great. Yeah, well, thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you, Mindy.
Ola might have some insights here.
Oh, no.
Are you there, Mindy?
Yes, I am.
So I just wanted to share with you what I got. I got that your dad was an extremely passionate person and was extremely determined in his life.
Yes.
Very determined. And yes. there is this part of you that he looks at, and it's almost like he would like to give you this piece of passion that he had and determination. Because mm-hmm. it feels as if there's a sense of, it's not that you're not confident, but it's almost like he wants to say to you, Mindy, you can do this. You can do this. And be strong in who you are and what you have to offer to people. Because you have the package within you. And he shows me this beautiful red rose that he wants to hand to you. And so
okay,
he sends this lovely red rose with all his love to be strong and believe in you, because there feels like there are times that you wobble about you. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does.
And
I know what I'm picking up. I can tell you.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, he doesn't want you to wobble. It's like, come on, Mindy. You know, pull your suspenders up. Let's go. You can do this. Yeah, but it sounds
okay.
Like, you know, it's like he wants to give you a loving kick in the rear.
Okay.
I know exactly what
this is. He did that when he was alive.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's like, come on, that's enough. Get going. Does that make any sense?
Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you are making sense, I feel.
Yeah.
Okay, Mindy, so here's the deal. Just believe and get going.
Okay, well, thank you so much, ladies. I'm really enjoying the show today.
Oh, you're welcome. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
I love when sometimes you get those strong personalities coming through on the other side.
So I have to laugh, Amy, because I have my color cards in front of me. I just kept hearing red, red, red. Red, and I'm like, oh, boy.
I know what that's about, and I will talk to her I'll talk with her at a later date about what I was picking up.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Like I said, you have sometimes, they'll come through in spirit, somebody will ask you to contact someone, and they'll be right there. I had one of those overbearing mother-in-laws with a reading one time, and she was just like telling her daughter-in-law, you got to kick him in the rear end, my son's lazy. It's like, oh my God. You really want me to say this to this lady? And she's like, that's my mother-in-law. That's my mother-in-law.
Well.
I just got to laugh.
That's cute. You've done this longer, so I try to sort of put a few filters in place, like, oh, I don't know. Here it is. It's like, that guy's forceful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yes. Sometimes they just come through.
Yeah.
And. Yeah.
He's bigger than life.
Yeah, they're larger than life personalities. Oh. Or, you know, and it's amazing because they come through. And, you know, that's not one, you know, thing I focus on in my mediumship. I do the psychic reading work. But sometimes they'll just come through in a reading. And it's like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but it's really cool. But yes, but it's kind of comical sometimes, humorous. After a while, they'll be saying things like, I don't know about you, Nola, or you, Maureen, but, you know, you may have someone that's coming to you for a reading, and maybe a phrase will come out that their loved one will say, and they freak out, and they look at you like, you know, like you got 10 heads or something. It's like, whoa.
Stopping. Yeah.
It's interesting in this work. It really is. And I really think that your book is really worth picking up. It's terribly not that expensive. It's a real easy read. It just kind of gave me clarity for me, you know, in different experiences. Because I don't question myself like maybe some other people would, but I think when you're tuned to the other side after a while, it becomes commonplace. I don't know about you ladies, but, you know, the spirits, you know, are all around us. People would be amazed, don't you think so?
Really,
you know?
A universal experience. And, you know, your listeners can check out our website at www.livefromtheotherside.com, or they can buy our book on Amazon and Kindle. It's published by Ozark Mountain Publishing. And we give kudos to Dolores Cannon, who honored our book. And Dolores has published many books, Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, and Transgression Therapy. She's in her 80s now. So,
all right.
Ozark Mountain Publishing. So, thank you for
that. Yeah,
that
looked like it was, I never even heard of it until I got a copy of your book. I was like, cool. And I looked in the back, and you could see about all the different things they do publish and the different, you know, they're just, I think, trying to open the minds of other people. So, and we got a few minutes, ladies. In closing, what do you want to tell the audience? You know, why don't we start with you, Nola? What is your message? What would you tell people? What's your final thoughts? Anything that you want to bring out or talk about?
Just for people to understand that when you love someone, even to when they're alive, to acknowledge in your heart where that love is, and to move out every day the best you can, seated in that love and your intention, and to know and to trust your knowing that when that person makes their transition from this earth, to find a way in a private way for yourself to sit quietly and reconnect with them within your soul, where that connection first was made, and to just bathe in the light of that connection and to send your love out to them, that if ever they need your help, to let you know, and that you just love them and welcome the opportunity to connect again in a visit when they're ready.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Maureen? Any final thoughts?
What I'd like to say is, remember how you connected with them. If your mom always baked chocolate chip cookies in the kitchen, then that's how she'll come through. If your dad always helped you with the car, that might be how he comes through. So think of those times where you really connected, where you had talks with your loved one, because those are the places that they might come through. That might give them a passageway to come through. But more than anything, it's all that place of unconditional love, Amy, like you know, on the other side that you experienced in your life. It's all about sweetness in the end, really.
It is, and I want to say that death is not to be feared. It's actually kind of cool. It was for me. And I think that when you do have an experience, maybe those who have crossed over and then come back, you know, near-death experiences, I think that you have an appreciation for life. I did. I really, my life changed totally. My gifts came back. I suppressed them. I mean, it was just amazing. And I got to a different awareness and understanding. And I think your book is going to bring that out. And it just, it's a wonderful book. I think that people should get a copy. You know, I'm going to be posting the show for the, you know, that we had today for a week. If you want to look on, you know, Angel Answers on BBS Radio or, you know, your website, you know, it's a wonderful book, and I think everyone should copy, and it's an easy read. And I actually love the poetry, by the way. I wanted to say something about that. It's really cool. You both contributed with the poetry. That was pretty awesome. You know, it just touched the heart, and it just was appropriate. It's like Spirit guided you to write this book. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, I think so.
Absolutely. No doubt.
Yeah. Well, ladies, it was a pleasure having you. It was a great show. Sorry my tongue was, like, twisted and turned in the beginning.
Oh, no. You did just fine.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you coming on. You're always welcome if you guys have another book or, you know, if you want to do a show on tarot or anything else, give me a holler. I would love to have you back on the show. It was really great to have you guys.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, sweethearts. You have a great day, and out there, everyone, have a great Monday, what's remaining of it, and God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah.